not know the day of my death. Now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out into the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may be blessed, may bless you before I die. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your son, saying, 'Bring me game and make me savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Now go to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of goats, and I will eat, I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids on the goats of his hands on a smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared in the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may be blessed, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hand. So he blessed him. And then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" "I am," he said. He said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my son may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelt the smell of his clothing, and blessed him, and said, "Surely the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of the heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren and let your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be those who bless you."
Genesis 28. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you. Then you may be an assembly of peoples. And give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." So Isaac sent Jacob away and went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Also Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife in addition to the wives he had. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So he, Jacob, came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it under his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city had been Luz previously.
Father God, we just ask for the remaining time that we have, that by your Spirit you speak through this vessel. Open my ears, open our ears, open our hearts to receive the fullness of what you have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad we weren't doing all of Psalm 119? Why do we have somebody get up and read two chapters out of the book of Genesis? Well, let me tell you why. There are foundational things that we have to hang on to, that we have to grab, that we have to make foundational things. We can't let them be chiseled away or chipped away for any reason. And to read like we do when we have chapters that are what we're supposed to be teaching on, it's to not miss things that we can easily miss because we went through the whole thing. The foundations of this faith begin in Genesis. And we have to build upon the foundations. Why do we make a big deal about a Thrive conference? Why do we make a big deal about the children's ministries in this church? Because we are establishing a foundation for them to live by, to build upon, and to grow. And the same is true for you and me. Some people say, why would you go to the Old Testament? That's been fulfilled. Well, yes, it has been fulfilled, but it's laying the foundation for us to understand the greater things of God, and we get revelation out of the Old Testament. So that's why we spend time in the Old Testament. We spend time at the first book authored by God, because every book authored by God is worthy of our time and our effort and our study. So when we go back to, we will make disciples. We can't make them very well until we become disciples. So that's the challenge for the church. And everything you hear about, you know, we say it all the time from here about this day that we're living in, the foundations matter. The foundations don't get rocked when they're built upon the rock. So I just want to encourage you to get excited about foundational things. And I got 7 minutes left, so we're going to get at it right now. Title of the message is Saintless Saints and Undeserved Grace. That came out of my life group, honestly. Wednesday, when I heard some of the people in our life group just going on about these people, these four people that we'll talk about today and all that their struggles and their issues and their problems. And they're all in the book. They're all mentioned for all eternity in God's word. And we call them saints. Sometimes saints don't act like saints. When you come to Christ and you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a saint of God. Now you have to act like one. And I have to act like one. And sometimes I fall short. But I'm still a saint. I'm still a child of the King. I'm still an heir of Christ, a co-heir with Christ. And so are you. In Genesis 25, 21, it says, "Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled within her, and she said, 'If all is well, why am I like this?' So she went to inquire of the Lord." So she wants a baby. She wants a baby. Sounds a lot like Sarah, right? She just wants a baby. Doesn't have one. He's getting older and older and older. Prays, and now she has a baby. Actually, she has two babies. And both babies living inside of her, we know who they are already because we read the story. It's Jacob and it's Esau. And they are at war even within her womb. They're at war. They haven't sinned. They haven't done anything wrong. They haven't even been born yet. And they're already at discord with one another. What's going on here? Romans 9:10 says, "And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one man, even our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls." So it doesn't matter about what they've done, whether it's good or bad. It matters that God chose them for his divine purpose, to use them to bring about his redemptive plan. I'm going to cough here in a second. But there's a prophecy given in this message, and it's in Genesis 25, 23, and it says, "And the Lord said to Rebekah, 'Two nations are in your womb, two people separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger.'" And it's a prophetic word of who God will choose to work his plan. And you've heard it said where there's some hate and love going on here. And I just want to bring this to the forefront. It says, "The older shall serve the younger, as it is written, 'Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated.'" And I just want to deal with this because this is a trip up for a lot of people, myself included. How can a God who is love hate? Well, it's because I'm taking it out of context when I think like that. The hate isn't hate like we think of hate today. The hate really has to do with who is open to receive the fullness of God, who is open to follow his plan, and whose line will God choose to work through. And what, they're just born, how can God decide that? Because he's all-knowing. And if you read on in Genesis a little bit longer, you'll see that Esau was an unspiritual man. He didn't care about spiritual things. He despised his birthright for a bowl of stew. He doesn't care about spiritual things. He doesn't care about God. To be honest with you, he is a man of the flesh. And he is about satisfying his flesh. Esau was different. Not necessarily better in lots of ways. He was just different. But we learn later as we read through God's word that Jacob was open to spiritual things. Maybe not right away, but in the story we learn that he comes around and he has an encounter with God. So he's open to spiritual things. Are you open to spiritual things? We did just a little activity during the transition time. And it was an encouragement to listen to what the Spirit says and be ready to speak what the Spirit gave you. If you don't do that, don't feel bad. This was the first time I spoke a word like that. All the years I've been coming to this church, I would get things and I really wouldn't speak them out. I didn't know. I wrestle with it just like many of you do. But I want this church, this laboratory, if you will, where the Spirit of God lives and dwells and speaks through us, I want you to have the freedom to speak it if it's in line with his word. That's happening more and more on Monday nights at our prayer meeting. And it should. And by the way, it felt good. It felt good to get a word, and I fumbled around with it a little bit, and that happens, and that's okay. But I saw where it fit with the other words that were given. That's just one of the gifts of the many gifts that God gives us to accomplish his purpose. Thank you, Jesus, for your gifts. Let me not despise them. But we have some deviant behavior going on, and this is not a story that can glorify man in any way, but it will glorify the divine purposes of God. God chooses because of his divine wisdom, his divine love, and his divine goodness. He is sovereign over all things. There is nothing that escapes him. Every time you hear me talking about a fungus or a virus or whatever it is, troubled times socially, discord all over the place, none of this escapes him. He is fully aware. None of this frightens him or causes him to fear, like it does me sometimes. But when I step into his love, his protection, his purpose, and his plan, I trust a little bit better. And you will too if you go to that place. But not everybody goes to that place. And Rebecca, who pled for the babies, to have a baby, who now has two of them, now they're growing up. She likes one and prefers one. She loves them both. They're her kids. But she prefers one over the other. And Isaac prefers the other over the other. And she overhears and she creates a scheme. And it's in Genesis 27:5. It says, now Rebecca was listening to Isaac as he spoke to Esau. So she overhears that Isaac is going to give this blessing to the son that he favored, that he loved. And it was going to be Esau, the man of the world, the man of the flesh. And so she contrives a plan. She begins to scheme because she heard the prophecy from God in Genesis 25, which says the older will serve the younger. So Rebecca spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I heard your father speak to your brother, saying he's going to bless him and bless him and bless him and bless him. I want you to have that blessing, so do what I say. And she begins the scheme, and her son joins her in the scheme. So she says in verse 8, she says, therefore, now my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go to the flock, get me two kids, two goats. And she's going to create the meal that Isaac was going to create for his father, because his father loved Isaac, who was a hunter and a gatherer, and he did all that stuff, and he was just, he's the man. And he's going to bring him and make him some stew. Oh, guys, love that, yeah. So Rebecca has her son get the two goats, and she makes the great meal. And what he does is they dress him up so that he comes across as though he is Jacob, because Esau, I'm sorry. We'll get this right. A lot of names. I could get lost easy. To come across as though he's Esau, because at this time, Isaac is blind. He doesn't see well, and they feel they could pull it off. So she's scheming. What did she just do? She just stepped out of God's providence and God's plan and took his plan, and she was going to make it her own. She was going to do it her way, because why? Like us, sometimes we don't trust God so much. We have to do it ourselves. Some people feel they have to earn their way to heaven even because we don't trust God so much. Some people just work and work and work and work, which seems so good and good and good. But what's the motive behind the work? I'm going to earn my way to heaven. No, you're not. By God's divine providence and his love for you and the work he did, you're going to make it to heaven. The blessing is we get to join him in the work that he does. That's what he wants for you and me. So first thing she does is she devises her own plan, and it's a plan of deception against her husband for what she wanted to see happen. Second thing, they pull it off. They're successful. They put the sheepskin on Jacob's arm and put some stink on him so he smelled like the outdoors. His clothing. And he knew the plan, so he came in with the stew. And basically, just to fast forward the story a little bit, Isaac eats it up, and Isaac gives him the blessing. What do you think he does after he gets the blessing? He's like my dog used to be when the dog would do something wrong, usually in the corner or on the carpet. And when I'd come in, that look, that guilt, was already over the dog. Well, it's the same thing here, and he gets out of Dodge. He gets out of where he's living. He's going to run away because Esau's a big, scary dude. So he went to his father and said, "My father," and he said, here I am. "Who are you, my son?" And Jacob just flat out lies. He says, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me." He says, "Please arise, sit, eat my game, that your soul may bless me." Selfishness, it's about him. It's not about God's plan, it's about what he wants. And then the lie is challenged and it becomes the most blatant lie. And Isaac says, "Are you really my son, Esau?" He said, "I am." So then he gets the blessing. So what does he get? He gets a blessing meant for another. And so now we know that Rebekah's out of order. And we know that Jacob is out of order. And Isaac is out of order because he knew the prophecy. And he knew that the younger was to be over the older. The older would serve the younger. So he's out of order. He gives the blessing. "Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let the people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." Man, what a blessing. I think I want that blessing. I would like that blessing. I don't want to covet it, but it'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? But then Isaac finds out, and he's exceedingly moved in a bad direction. He was not happy. He was hurt, but I think he was frightened because he knew against God's will. He went against God's will purposefully and did what he wanted to do, not what God wanted him to do. Yet the blessing he gave was still for the one that God had ordained to be blessed. Oh, I can just imagine the conviction as he realized what he had done. You know what the beautiful thing was? He had conviction. "I've sinned, and I've realized later the sin that I've committed is like, ugh." And as I became a believer, in more recent times, as I've grown in my faith, when I've sinned and something is wrong or it's an error, oh, it's just painful. I have to reconcile it. I have to get it out of me. I have to be forgiven. I'm already forgiven, but I have to give it up. I can't let it entangle me or carry me. And I believe Isaac is going through something like this, probably at a much greater level. Esau doesn't get that. Esau's about Esau. Jacob was about Jacob. And Rebekah was about Rebekah. Saintless saints who God will still use to accomplish his purpose. What about me? God's going to use me when I act like a saintless saint. When I stumble and I mess up and I fall, he's still going to use me. But God will not be mocked. He will teach me and he will instruct me. He will take me through what I need to go through to grow, to understand. And usually it puts me on my knees or on my face before him. And he'll do that for you too. Second blessing comes. In Genesis 27:33, it says that Isaac trembled exceedingly. Okay, that's when the realization of what he had just done happened. "Who? Where is the one who hunted the game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and you have blessed him. Indeed, all shall be blessed." Oh, he's just terrible. I don't want to be in that place And when I am, I want to be on my knees before God to be made right. I don't want to be exceedingly in discord and trembling in fear because I went against God. So what does he do? He calls him back after he finds out. In Genesis 28:1, it says, "Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, 'You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan.'" What's he doing? He's now given the real blessing to the real person instead of the real blessing to the fake person, and he's making it right before God. He did not take his blessing back from Jacob. He just continued in it and added to it. And he blesses him, and he blesses him big like you and I would all want to be blessed. Man. Sovereign God. And up to this point, Jacob has never had interaction with God. Isn't that something? He will be the father whose name will be changed to Israel. He will be the one who has 12 sons. And in the line of the 12 sons of Israel, one will be the seed that leads to Christ. God used him. God used the one before him. God used the one before him. And down the line, God is going to use people he chooses. Some are wicked sinners and some are prostitutes. Some are whatever they are. He will use them because that's what a sovereign God does. He chooses and uses because he knows more than you and I. He knows what he's doing. He's omniscient, all-knowing. I thank him for that. But Jacob's about to have his first encounter with God. In Genesis 28:11, it says, "So he, Jacob, came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it under his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep." Some of you are getting dreams during these last days that we live in. You get dreams from God. Some are getting visions from God. This is the day we live in. Well, he gets one back in his day. So he dreams, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. Its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. That happened in the New Testament. And Jesus spoke. In John 1:50, he answered to him, he's speaking to Nathanael, because Nathanael had some belief. He says, "Because I said I saw you under a tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Here, he's got the ladder from heaven and he sees angels ascending and descending. And it's on what? A servant of God. Not the Son of Man, a servant of God. A servant that God is choosing to use. And to build his faith and say, "I am here with you in this." You're going to get dreams and visions like I said before. And you know what? Some of you are getting them because you are servants of God. And he's going to give you faith. He's going to increase your faith and your belief. And he's going to give you visions and he's going to give you dreams to move you in a direction. Is it the direction you want to go? Probably not. Is it the direction he wants you to go? Yes. Is it good for you? Most definitely. It's best for you. And he says, "Walk in this way. Go to this place. Reach out to this person." Why? Because maybe the vision and the dream and everything was for the person you were supposed to reach out to. Because he was going to do something great through them. Do you look at people like that? Do you look at people? Do you weigh them? Do you measure them and say, "Oh, I'm not going to reach out to that person. They look like a loser. Oh, I'm not going to look like that. Reach out to that person because they look like they're proud. They have it all together. They have it all figured out." Or do you move by his spirit and say, "God could do something with that person. God could do something with that person. I don't know, but I'm called to reach out." And you reach out and all of a sudden God explodes that person into something powerful. And he does a great thing. Thank you, Jesus. So he has this encounter with God. And God tells him some things about how he is going to bless him. And I think it's significant because God is going to bless him. And he lays out everything that he's going to bless him with. And Jacob has a response. So in Genesis 28, 20, it says, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going and give me bread to eat and put clothing on me so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. So what's happening here is God pours out these blessings. You'll be over many nations. It'll be as the dust of the earth and the stars of the sky and all these incredible things. And you'll be the father of these from your point. Your dad was a father of these because of you, and your grandfather was a father of these because of your father and because of you. But you're going to be the one whose name is going to be changed to Israel. You're going to do all these incredible things. And what does Jacob say? Well, if you do all the things you said, then you can be my God. The audacity and the arrogance and the pride and the selfishness that he would say that to God. If you do this for me, then I'll do this. Oh, God, if you would just raise my friend from the dead, then I'll quit smoking. You know what I'm saying? My mom is sick. If you make her better, Lord, just make her better. I'll quit drinking. If you do this, then I will do this. God, forgive us. Forgive me, God. How about this? He says, like Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust in you. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Why? Because he is God and I'm not. It doesn't matter if he blesses me. It matters that he is God. In the end, the blessing we all get as being in God is greater than what we can even imagine. I don't even know how he puts it ink on paper to make us get how great it will be. Wow. Oh God, though you slay me, yet will I trust in you. Oh God, I've had a tough life, and sometimes I feel like you're not even there. Yet I will trust in you. Oh God, I don't have enough money to even pay the bills, the rent for this month. Yet I will trust in you. Oh God, thank you for the bonus check. Actually, we don't even go there, do we? I got the bonus check. Only this much? What's up with that? My daughter and my son-in-law, they have four kids. They get that. What's with that? That's not fair. They get all that and I only get this. That's how I work. And then I get, God takes me to the woodshed, gives me a little love. Well, he's going to do the same thing to Jacob. And he's going to take Jacob to the woodshed. And it's going to look like this. Because I think God has, like I said, he will not be mocked. And he's going to deal with each one in his way. So what happens? Isaac does not get a chance to be close to his sons because he chose one over the other. And the one that he did, that he chose that didn't get the blessing was gone. He lost his other son, so he doesn't get him. Rebecca, who did her own thing, loses the son she loves, sends him to her brother, Laban. And she doesn't get what she wants, which is that close-knit fellowship with one of her children. She never sees him again. Esau runs through the wilderness godless the rest of his days, conquering and being conquered, beaten, whatever. He still has a blessing from God, but he's being, apart from God, is no place for any of us to be. Maybe the worst consequence of all. And Jacob spends the next 20 years to a deceiver and a manipulator that far exceeds what he was doing, Laban, tricking him into marrying the oldest daughter before the youngest daughter. It's interesting. I learned as I went through this study myself, man's order is not necessarily God's order. The blessing always goes to the oldest. But as you read through Scripture, no, it doesn't. Not the blessings from God. He chooses the man. Sometimes he chooses the least of these. He chose Abel over Cain, right? His offering he took. The other one he didn't. A murder came about because of that. He chose Isaac over Ishmael, the older brother. He chose Jacob over Esau. The younger brother is the one he chose. He chose David over all his brothers. Wow, God has his way, and sometimes his ways are different than our ways. So when we say in this church that we are broken people, affecting change for God's glory, I believe with, oh man, God will use anybody, but I believe in a special way he loves to work through the broken to accomplish his purposes. Those who have been forgiven much love much. Those who have been healed of much serve much. Those who have been given all kinds of things because of the place they came from, God still gives it to them. They want to sell out for God differently than those who have had it all along. Not that God doesn't use people with means, because he does. But in Scripture, he really chose the lesser. And he chose those that were broken many times. And I want you to just sit where you're at and think about you. Are you broken? Are you broken to the point where you'd say, I am nothing. You are everything, God. Are you broken in the place of humility where you bow before God because you see who he is? Are you broken because the world has kicked you in the teeth over and over again and was slow to get it, but now we get it? Lord, I need you. Are you that kind of broken? You're in a beautiful place. God can now do something with you because you'll lean on him. You'll trust him when he delivers you through that. My prayer for everybody here is that you allow yourself to go to that broken place. And it's through brokenness that the victory comes. Through brokenness, victory comes to you. I am so stinking victorious. Nothing can come against me if he is in me and I am broken before him in a wonderful place. Tell your story, show your scars of what the world has done to you and how God redeemed you. You can close your eyes right where you're at. This is for you. This is a decision you make right in your seat. You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to come up here. But you make a decision in your own hands. And this is the question I'm asking. Can you humble yourself before God? Give him your sin and let him take it from you. Can you come to that place? Will you go to that place? God, take my sin from me. And the only way he takes sin away from you is through his son. It's through Christ. Christ takes your sin away. He washes it away. Are you humble enough, broken enough to let him take your sin? Can you give it to him? The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin. He became your sin and my sin, that we could become his righteousness. You're doing this in your own heart. And then can you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me. I have sinned against you and I've sinned against people. Forgive me. And you can do that right in your seat. This is just between you and God. I'm just throwing questions at you. Then can you go to the next place where you have to humble yourself again? And can you say, Jesus, be Lord in my life. Can I allow, through my humility, which you gave me, can I allow you to be Lord in my life? Jesus, be Lord in my life. I give you the reins. And can you come out the backside of this saying, I am a child of God because of what Christ has done. Yes, my victory is him. He is the victory that has overcome the world. And it's by my faith that I get that victory. If you've done that for the first time, I'll make a suggestion to you. When you throw the prophetic words that you got in these cans after the service, you can throw your name in there and say, I made a decision for Jesus today. And you become a new person in Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every person here in this room. You have given us You are giving us powerful scriptures, and we thank you for these foundational things that you give us. Help us to continue to build the foundation that you've established. I pray this in Jesus' name. For those who have received Christ for the very first time, Lord, I pray that you begin to build upon that foundation, on the cornerstone of Christ. Do that work in the new believer. And Father, for the believer that's been around a long time and maybe their foundations are eroding away, I pray that you renew them by the power of your Holy Spirit. Revive them and bring them back to life. That they would continue the work of building the foundation upon which they stand. I pray this in Jesus' name. I pray that each of you are blessed as you go from this place. I pray that God begins to stir in each one here a desire to seek him more, to come on Mondays and pray, to come to the Thrive event and grow, to come to celebrate recovery, to come to the places where we affect change. I pray this now, Lord Jesus, stir that within each of us, to go to a place where we talk about grieving and there's healing and there's restoration, to go to the brothers and sisters in Christ who have been through it all and are ready to minister and to love on you. Pray, Father, I pray that there be a heart for people to seek people who know you, so that they could have life because they'll tell of Christ. I pray all these things in Jesus' name.